Have you ever wondered what it would feel like if your touch could kill? Tahereh Mafi's electrifying debut novel, Shatter Me, took the literary world by storm when it was released in 2011, quickly becoming a New York Times bestseller and launching a beloved series that has sold millions of copies worldwide. The dystopian romance captured readers' hearts with its poetic prose and unique protagonist, whose lethal touch makes her both weapon and victim. Even celebrities like Kylie Jenner have been spotted with the distinctive eye cover edition, and the series' popularity exploded on BookTok in recent years, introducing a new generation to Juliet's harrowing journey. What makes this story resonate so deeply is its exploration of isolation and connection, themes that feel particularly relevant in our increasingly disconnected world. For 264 days, 17-year-old Juliet Ferris has been locked away in an asylum cell with only a small notebook, broken pen, and the endless numbers in her head for company. She meticulously counts everything: the cracks in the ceiling, 37, the number of breaths between guard rotations, 258, the steps from her bed to the door, 8. Each night, she practices speaking aloud to prepare for human interaction that never comes, her voice growing raspier from disuse. The walls of her cell, a suffocating 10x10 space, are painted an institutional shade of white that has yellowed with age and neglect. When she finally receives a cellmate, her heart nearly stops. It's a boy, not a girl, as protocol dictates. This boy, Adam, initially seems determined to torment her, claiming the single metal bed and threadbare blankets while she retreats to the furthest corner. His presence fills the tiny cell with an overwhelming masculine energy that terrifies her. "I'm not going to hurt you," he says repeatedly, but Juliet doesn't believe him. She stays awake all night, using her long brown hair as a protective curtain between them, counting his breaths, 147, until morning light filters through the narrow window. Juliet's paralyzing fear stems from a horrifying truth that's carved itself into every fiber of her being. Her touch is lethal. A single moment of skin-to-skin contact can cause excruciating pain, internal organ failure, and even death. This curse has made her untouchable her entire life, rejected by everyone, including her own parents, who abandoned her to state care at 14 after years of forcing her to wear gloves and full coverage clothing. Teachers called her a walking weapon and isolated her from other students. Doctors were baffled by test results that showed no medical explanation, and police ultimately recommended her removal from society for public safety. The memory of a little boy's death haunts her every waking moment, an accident that occurred in a grocery store when she was just trying to help a crying child who had fallen. His small body had convulsed at her touch, his mother's screams still echo in her nightmares. Since then, Juliet has wrapped herself in layers of isolation, both physical and emotional. As days pass in their shared confinement, Adam's behavior gradually softens. He begins leaving food from his tray for her, offers his blanket when she shivers in the cold night air, and apologizes for frightening her those first few days. When Juliet finally gathers the courage to whisper her name across the darkness between them, the way Adam repeats it, like it's something precious, something that delights him, makes something break inside her long frozen heart. No one has ever said her name like that in 17 years of existence. What Juliet doesn't yet realize, as she cautiously begins to trust this strange boy who seems unafraid of her, is that Adam isn't just any cellmate. He remembers her from their shared childhood at school, though she believes he's forgotten her completely, just like everyone else who ever knew her. The world outside Juliet's prison has deteriorated into a dystopian nightmare under the iron grip of the Re-Establishment, a totalitarian regime that rose to power by exploiting global crises. They initially presented themselves as saviors during catastrophic environmental disasters, promising solutions to widespread food shortages, contaminated water supplies, and devastating climate changes. Instead, they brought only more suffering and death, using these crises to consolidate their power and reshape society according to their vision. The reestablishment's organizational structure is ruthlessly efficient. They divided the remaining habitable land into exactly 3,333 sectors, each controlled by a supreme commander who answers only to the highest levels of leadership. Adam, during his visits to Juliet's cell, reveals the regime's systematic destruction of human history and culture. Libraries are burned, museums ransacked, and historical sites demolished. Art galleries are reduced to ash, while ancient artifacts are ground to dust. Their justification is chillingly simple. Society needs a complete reset, unburdened by the weight of its past mistakes. Throughout the sectors, massive propaganda campaigns paint the reestablishment as humanity's last hope. Towering billboards and street posters proclaim promises to reestablish society and build a better tomorrow, but these are hollow words masking a brutal reality. While common citizens struggle with severe food rationing and live in crumbling buildings, sector leaders reside in fortified compounds with every luxury at their disposal. The countryside, once fertile and green, now lies scorched and barren. Entire neighborhoods have been leveled, their residents displaced or worse. Those who dare speak against the regime simply disappear, their families too terrified to even ask questions. This harsh truth becomes painfully personal when soldiers suddenly storm Juliet's cell. They attack with calculated brutality, their boots and fists showing no mercy as they beat her unconscious. In these moments of searing pain, Juliet believes she's finally facing execution, her thoughts drifting to her parents and their likely relief at her death. However, fate has different plans. She regains consciousness in an ornate room, face to face with Warner, the enigmatic young leader of Sector 45. His emerald eyes hold both fascination and cruelty as he reveals a devastating truth that shatters what little trust Juliet had left. Adam, her only friend in captivity, is actually a soldier of the reestablishment, planted to spy on her and gain her confidence. Warner sits like a king on his throne, his posture radiating authority and cruel satisfaction as he reveals the depths of his knowledge about Juliet. He methodically lists everything, her medical records, the desperate lawsuits filed by parents, the public complaints, even the private notes from her childhood teachers. His voice carries a possessive edge as he explains how he's been studying her for years, referring to her as his pet project. The clinical way he discusses her life makes it clear his interest isn't born of compassion, but of cold calculation. He sees her lethal touch as the perfect weapon for his military arsenal in the ongoing war against the resistance. "I want you on my team," he says, with chilling confidence, his words carrying the weight of someone unused to being refused. The devastating revelation about Adam's true role hits Juliet like a physical blow. Learning that he was sent to evaluate her mental stability before Warner's recruitment shatters her newfound trust. When she desperately glances at Adam, now standing guard with his regulation firearm, he briefly meets her eyes before looking away, his face a mask of professional indifference that can't quite hide his inner turmoil. Warner, clearly enjoying the tension, cruelly suggests he could make Adam her permanent guard, his voice dripping with mock generosity as he adds, "But be careful, pretty girl. If you do something bad, he'll have to shoot you." Warner's fascination with Juliet borders on obsession. He recites from memory the details of why she was locked away, every hospital visit, every public demonstration demanding her imprisonment, every incident report. His eyes gleam with unsettling intensity as he draws parallels between them, insisting they're alike, both powerful, both capable of inflicting pain without remorse. But Warner fundamentally misunderstands Juliet's nature. Despite possessing a power that can drain life with a single touch, she has never wanted to harm anyone. Each accidental death weighs heavily on her conscience, haunting her dreams and shaping her self-imposed isolation. This profound difference between them becomes brutally clear when Warner forces her to demonstrate her power on Jenkins, a young soldier chosen at random. When Jenkins reluctantly touches her skin on Warner's command, the effect is immediate and horrifying. The soldier's face contorts in agony as her power drains his energy, leaving him collapsed and gasping. Juliet breaks free from Warner's grip, horror and self-loathing written across her face as she begs someone, anyone, to help Jenkins. But Warner merely carries her away, his expression alight with satisfaction at this display of her destructive potential, completely unmoved by the suffering he's orchestrated. Warner's world is a stark contrast to Juliet's prison cell. He lives in obscene luxury, while people starve. Marble floors, chandeliers, Persian rugs, and abundant food. The sight of such wealth built on other suffering overwhelms Juliet. She breaks down completely, collapsing in sobs until Adam carries her away from the crowd of curious soldiers. Warner's cruelty knows no bounds. He orchestrates Jenkins' death as a demonstration of Juliet's power, claiming it was to protect her. He punishes Adam physically when Juliet disobeys. Most chillingly, he executes a soldier named Fletcher in front of the entire sector for the crime of helping rebels. Warner calmly pulls out his gun and shoots Fletcher in the forehead without hesitation, shocking Juliet to her core, while the assembled soldiers show no reaction, betraying no fear. When Juliet confronts Warner about this casual murder, he pins her against the wall, his gloved hands, the same that just killed a man, cupping her face as he whispers, "Life is a bleak place. Sometimes you have to learn how to shoot first." Warner genuinely believes they're alike, that her disease is actually a gift with extraordinary potential. He can't comprehend why she refuses to embrace her power as he has embraced his capacity for violence. Warner's obsession with Juliet grows increasingly disturbing. He disables the cameras in her room, but orders Adam to guard her door. He allows her to eat alone, but summons her constantly. He parades her around like a trophy, forcing her to wear revealing clothes and attend meals where he can display his secret weapon to others. His fixation reaches its peak when he creates a torture chamber with mechanical spikes and sends in a blindfolded toddler, forcing Juliet to save the child by touching him with her lethal hands. In the midst of this nightmare, something unexpected happens. Adam reveals he can touch Juliet without being harmed. One morning, he turns on the shower at full power to mask their conversation and pulls her inside. With water soaking their clothes, he presses her against the wall and confesses, "I can touch you. I didn't understand until the other night." He explains he touched her that first night in her cell when she was screaming in her sleep, her face, her hand, her arm, and nothing happened to him. This revelation changes everything. Adam isn't just immune to her touch, he remembers her from their childhood. "I'd recognize your eyes anywhere in the world," Juliet tells him. Though they never spoke directly, Adam sat near her fence at school, defended her from bullies, and became the closest thing to a friend she ever had. He confesses he's been searching for her since she disappeared, drawn to her inherent goodness in a world that offered him none. Their connection deepens as Adam reveals more of himself. He has a 10-year-old brother named James, whom he's protected from the truth about their abusive father. Adam joined the Reestablishment's army, not out of loyalty, but necessity, to provide for James and keep him safe. Every cruel act he's witnessed, every order he's followed, has been to ensure his brother's survival. As Warner's obsession grows more dangerous, Adam and Juliet plan their escape. Adam promises to get her out during an upcoming military operation, giving them 3 weeks at most. But their timeline accelerates when Warner discovers Adam's immunity to Juliet's touch, sending him into a jealous rage. Their escape comes sooner than planned. When Warner finds Juliet's hidden notebook and pins her against the wall, Adam returns with a gun to his head. "Get your hands off her before I bury a bullet in your head." Though Warner pulls his own weapon and threatens to kill Juliet, she manages to grab his fallen gun and point it at his face with surprising confidence. Warner tries desperately to convince Juliet she's making a mistake, that Adam is just using her to escape while he could love her and treat her like a queen. Adam puts him in a headlock, demanding he help them escape, but Warner refuses. "Only my dead body would allow her to walk out that door. You, I would kill for pleasure, but Juliet is the one I want forever. They escape through the window, descending 15 stories on a rope as alarms blare and soldiers pour into the room. Warner grabs at Juliet's leg in a final desperate attempt to stop her. In that moment, Juliet realizes with shock that Warner just touched her bare leg and nothing happened. Like Adam, Warner appears immune to her lethal touch, though she hopes he doesn't realize what just occurred as she descends the rope toward freedom. Adam and Juliet run through barren streets as a mechanical voice announces rebels on the loose. Adam pulls her away from civilization toward abandoned shops and restaurants, forbidden territory where not even soldiers are allowed. He explains this area, an old nuclear power plant that exploded 5 years ago, counteracts the tracking serum injected into soldiers' bloodstreams. "Right now, everyone thinks I'm dead," he tells her. Adam leads Juliet to an unassuming house in a dilapidated neighborhood, revealing his most carefully guarded secret, his younger brother James. The 10-year-old boy lives under the protective care of Benny, a kind-hearted elderly woman who has helped keep their existence off Warner's radar. James, with striking blue eyes that mirror Adam's own, displays an immediate and disarming acceptance of Juliet, treating her presence with childlike curiosity rather than the fear she's grown accustomed to. When Juliet voices her concerns about Warner tracking them down, Adam explains the elaborate precautions he's taken. Officially, he doesn't exist in any housing records, and his military credentials list him as residing solely on base. The tender family moment is violently interrupted by the arrival of Kenji, one of Adam's fellow soldiers from the base, who stumbles in bearing severe wounds and gunshot injuries. Despite his battered state, Kenji maintains a sardonic humor, immediately identifying Juliet as the psycho girl and teasing Adam about running off with the crazy chick. His levity masks grave news. Warner had him brutally tortured for information about their whereabouts, raising alarming questions about the effectiveness of the tracker serum they thought they'd escaped. Kenji offers them hope in the form of a sanctuary, mentioning a group of people specifically interested in meeting Juliet and her unique abilities. Their planning is cut short when military vehicles screech to a halt outside. In the chaos that follows, they rush through a concealed escape route that Adam had prepared, just as an explosion rips through the house, destroying their temporary haven. During their desperate flight, Adam takes a bullet while hotwiring a vehicle for their escape. The sight of Adam's blood ignites something primal in Juliet, leading to a confrontation with Warner. She employs calculated deception, feigning surrender while maneuvering close enough to grab his weapon. The moment she pulls the trigger marks a significant transformation. It's her first time firing a gun, and while the recoil startles her, there's a grim satisfaction in knowing that for once, she's causing harm to protect rather than being used as a weapon. The blood spilling isn't Adam's this time, but Warner's, a small victory in their ongoing fight for freedom. Juliet drives the injured Adam, James, and Kenji to Kenji's underground hideout, an elaborate facility that would be nearly impossible to spot in the darkness. Inside, Adam is rushed to a medical wing, while Juliet is prevented from following. When she resists, Kenji reluctantly sedates her. Juliet wakes up 14 hours later, clean and in a stark white room. She meets Winston, a man with sandy blonde hair and plastic glasses, who explains they cleaned her using latex gloves to avoid touching her skin directly. He mentions they've created a special suit for her and confirms that Warner survived her gunshot. When Kenji enters, looking completely healed from his injuries, Juliet learns the truth. Kenji is part of an underground resistance movement called Omega Point. He was sent to infiltrate Warner's army specifically to find Juliet. Castle, their leader, had requested her personally. Castle introduces Juliet to Omega Point, the last letter in the Greek alphabet, the final development, the last in a series. He explains they are civilization's last hope against the reestablishment. Most shocking of all, Castle reveals the reestablishment's portrayal of their world's condition is largely lies. Food isn't scarce, they just control access. animals aren't extinct, they're hidden on secret pastures. Even environmental problems, while real, are fixable. We are fed lies because believing them makes us weak, vulnerable, malleable, he explains. When Juliet asks why they want her, Castle reveals the most transformative truth of all. Nearly half of Omega Point's 200 residents have special gifts like hers. I brought you here because this is where you belong, because you need to know that you are not alone. For the first time, Juliet meets others with extraordinary abilities. Castle demonstrates his psychokinesis by summoning a key from across the room directly into his hand. Brendan, a young man with stark white hair and skin, generates electricity he sometimes struggles to control. Twin healers named Sonia and Sarah focus on different elements, one on physical injuries, one on mental health, both necessary for complete healing. When introduced to Brendan, who apologetically explains he sometimes electrocutes people accidentally, Juliet feels understood for the first time. "Don't worry," she tells him with a genuine smile. "If I shake your hand, I might kill you." He laughs, joking about how girls talk about electricity in romance, but aren't happy to actually be electrocuted. A wave of acceptance washes over her. Maybe she doesn't have to be a monster after all. Castle is fascinated by Adam's immunity to Juliet's touch, calling it astounding and insisting it can't be coincidence. He mentions having theories about their conditions based on years of research, suggesting Adam might have abilities of his own. Kenji reveals his own power by completely disappearing before their eyes. He explains he can blend into any background by shifting himself to match his surroundings, a skill that allowed him to follow Adam home undetected and escape gunfire. Winston reluctantly demonstrates his ability to stretch and bend his body unnaturally, looping his arm around his waist twice. On her final morning at Omega Point, Winston gives Juliet a purple bodysuit designed specifically for her. It fits perfectly, stretching to her exact proportions, breathable yet protective. The suit addresses her touching issue, keeping her cool or warm as needed while preventing her from hurting someone unintentionally. Yet it allows her the flexibility to touch someone deliberately if necessary. Winston completes the outfit with black ankle boots and elbow-length gloves. As they leave the room, Adam slips off her left glove and takes her hand, intertwining their fingers. Juliet feels invincible in this ensemble, rejuvenated, vibrant, healthy. Things are changing, but she's not afraid anymore. She knows who she is now. She's made the right choice and joined the right team. She feels safe, confident, even excited, because this time, she's ready. At its core, Shatter Me is about the fundamental human need for connection. Juliet's isolation isn't just physical, it's emotional and psychological. Her entire life has been defined by what she cannot have: touch, companionship, acceptance. Her notebook becomes her only friend, leading her to form bonds with paper characters when real relationships were impossible. "I am a being comprised of letters, created by sentences," she reflects. The novel explores how isolation warps our perception of ourselves. Without the mirror of human connection, Juliet sees herself only as others have labeled her: a monster, a freak, a weapon. It's only when Adam recognizes her humanity that she begins to reconsider this narrative. His ability to touch her without harm becomes symbolic of his ability to see past her deadly exterior to the compassionate person within. Warner serves as a dark reflection of what Juliet could become if she embraced her power without empathy. Though physically immune to her touch, like Adam, Warner lacks the emotional connection that makes Adam's immunity meaningful. Warner wants to weaponize her difference. Adam wants to embrace it. The discovery of Omega Point represents a profound shift in Juliet's understanding of herself. She's not alone in her difference. She's part of a community with similar struggles. This realization transforms her perception from cursed to gifted, from isolated to connected. The purple bodysuit becomes symbolic of this transformation. It doesn't eliminate her power, but gives her control over it. By the end of the novel, Juliet stands poised between two futures, Warner's vision of her as a weapon of destruction, or Omega Point's vision of her as a force for positive change. The choice is clear to her now. With Adam by her side and a community that accepts her, Juliet is ready to shatter the limitations others have placed on her and redefine herself on her own terms.